This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Welcome back. It is our 7 o'clock hour. The Philadelphia Eagles have achieved the ultimate in the regular season of the National Football League. 14-3 record, buying the first round. All home playoff games before the Super Bowl.
And you're deliriously happy.
Lincoln Financial Field, and I have spent 1 hour bitching my head off.
Yes.
And Jonesy, I have to ask you, do you feel I'm out of line?
No, you're not.
Barrett Brooks, if I may be going too far after
no,
you had
not yet.
Polly and Anna yesterday on the postgame show, Jaworski and Frank.
No, you're still in line.
I'm in line. Am I out of line here?
I think you were out of line calling the guy a moron.
Well, he was talking about the team.
He was a knucklehead. Yeah. Maybe a knucklehead.
Moron. That's the best thing he'll be called today.
That guy is dumber than a moron.
All right. Anyway, on the line with us is not a moron because we employ him for his knowledge of football. He is the WIP football reporter, Elliot Shore-Parks. Hi, Elliot.
You know, Angelo, I'm sad that there's only a few more weeks to you, but if you get to go out one way, I'm happy you get to go out complaining about a 14-3.
All right, well, hold on. Now, Keith Jones took the liberty of listening to you pregame yesterday.
Yeah, there were some concerns that it might be like a 9-6 game and that just to win would be okay. And after watching that, I don't feel okay.
Yeah, what do you feel? Glass half full, glass half empty?
Yeah, no, look, you also get to go out being right because I think it is correct to be concerned about this team. We can pretend like they're still the team they were before. But the last 10 games they've played, it's not just yesterday, the last 10 games they've played, really only three of them have been impressive, if you think about it. It was that stretch between the Titans, the Packers, and the Giants. Outside of that, it's been concerning play. You look at yesterday, I thought the number one thing you wanted to see yesterday was Jalen come out and look like Jalen. And Jalen didn't look like Jalen. I thought he made poor decisions. I thought he missed a few throws. And the offense did not look like the unit that they did during the year. So, yeah, I do think it was a concerning performance yesterday.
All right, well, here's the thing. 14-3 is a great season. Is this a great team?
Not anymore, no. I mean, I think that there are elements of it that can be great. But the other part of this is the offensive line is not playing that well anymore. And what makes a great team is great line play. Their defensive line is still playing well, obviously. You know, almost set the NFL sack record, but they're not getting good plays from their tackles, which is a huge part of it. Jason Kelce has been open about, you know, he wasn't great against the Saints. So I don't think that they are a great team anymore. Maybe they can turn it back on, but we haven't seen them play like a great team for a while.
All right, well, Elliot, I want to my focus based on all the emails I get during the game is on the actual coaching staff. And mm-hmm. I need you to help me with this. This is going to be a problem for me all morning. So we know that Hurts is still somewhat injured. We really would prefer not to play him, but we got to win the game. So we're putting him out there. So let's make sure we put together a game plan that preserves his health. I will now play in rapid order the first 9 plays. Listen.
Let's see what the first play is from Jalen Hurts. Hurts looks, Hurts fires, complete on a crossing pattern. He's back again, he's looking, firing, and he throws it out of bounds. Steps up, he fires over the middle, complete. Fakes, looks, fires, he completes it, fires for the end zone, and it is incomplete. Hurts looking, he's being chased, he stops, he throws, and it is out of bounds, incomplete. Down, Hurts back again, flares it out. He's got Devontae Smith. Comes the rush, he steps up, he's going to run. And he dives down, but he will lose a yard on the play. Fakes, he slings it out, and he has the first down to Goddard.
Nine consecutive pass plays to start the game. Does that make sense to you, Elliot?
You'll never hear me say this, but I probably would have run the ball more to start the game. And
he hates the run.
Yeah, I normally am all pass, but I do think coming out and running it would have made more sense. Now, I don't think you have to go 50-50 or anything like that, but nine straight probably was excessive. I would have run it more. But what I'll say to the whole idea that, well, it was a vanilla offense, you know, they're not trying to show anything, they're protecting Hurts. Yeah, but they're also playing against third-string defense, right? Yeah. So any play they run with that group of players, with all those Pro Bowl players, the MVP candidate, all these great receivers, any play they run should have been productive. So I think this idea that, you know, they weren't showing anything is flawed because the Giants weren't playing anybody.
Well, there's another aspect to this, Elliot. In the fourth quarter, when the lead was evaporating and they went on a long drive, they dialed up eight consecutive runs, most of which were highly effective. They established that they could do it, but chose not to and placed the quarterback under more duress than they needed to. That is not logical to me. Is that logical to you?
Well, look, I think in general, the idea is, and I agree with it, you come out and you throw the ball to build a lead. That's how teams do it in the NFL, right?
Yep.
But I think the circumstances of yesterday with Jalen coming back, that, yeah, they should have run it more early. At least late they ran it to kill clock because it certainly felt like that thing was slipping away.
All right, let's go to Jonathan Gannon next and his defense. Yeah. What was the last three drives were all highly productive. They accounted for all 16 points they got. What were the Eagles doing defensively, especially in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, so that last touchdown catch, you know, was a pretty miraculous one. I would say there, that's almost one you just have to tip your cap to the Giants for making that catch. There's no doubt that they gave up more points than they should have. I said on the pregame show they should give up 0 points against this offense. So, you know, they gave up, I think, what they finished with, 19. So they finished with about 19 more than I thought they should. Now, that being said, they did keep them off the scoreboard in the first half. I think they gave up 3 points in the third quarter. So I thought the defense outplayed the offense for sure. But any points against Davis Webb is a poor performance, especially there at the end.
Davis Webb, nine plays, Jonesy, last three drives, nine plays, 69 yards, field goal. 10 plays, 59 yards, touchdown. 7 plays, 54 yards, touchdown. Elliot, that was all their scrubs. Was he playing a soft zone at that point? What was he doing?
So I did think the tackling got worse as well throughout the game. And then, as I said, that last touchdown catch, I mean, you know, it was just an amazing catch. It was like one-handed as he was probably being held. In fact, they were flagged on that play, and he somehow kept his feet in bounds. So I think it was a bit of dumb luck on the Giants' part. But, you can't give up those points. I didn't see a style change in the defense or anything. I just think that the players, you know, at the end messed that up in the fourth quarter.
All right, one last thing, Elliot, because this is the kind of day where you really try to figure out how you feel. They did everything you could hope for. If anybody, there's not an Eagle fan in this city that wouldn't have signed up for 14-3 by in the first round.
Yep.
How should the fans feel this morning at the end of this regular season?
Well, I think overall they should feel like it's been a very successful year. You think about where they were in 2020, what they've become now. I mean, it's a miraculous turnaround. And I do still think fans should feel like there's a chance this team goes to the Super Bowl. They have the two home games. So I just don't think they should feel as optimistic and confident as they did before is how I would put it. I would feel cautiously optimistic if I were an Eagles fan.
Fair enough. Elliot Sharpbox, always great talking to you. Thank you, my friend.
Yep, talk to you soon.
So there's Elliot's take on it. He is not a big fan of the run, but even he is acknowledging that what they did yesterday was not completely logical.
No, under the circumstances, not at all.
You know what it's like sitting there monitoring this as the game's going on? I wait all day for this.
Yeah.
And I go, let's just pound that thing. Let's take the rock and let's pound the
rock. Yes, yes.
Barrett Brooks was an offensive lineman. Will any offensive lineman ever say to a coach, no, I don't want to pound a rock?
Absolutely not.
Pound a rock, right?
He want to come off the ball and hit people, not retreat and have people hit you.
With each pass that's in succession, the nine of them, I would grow more and more frustrated even when the pass was successful. Even when it got a first down. I would go, okay, good. First down, new set of downs. Here comes the run.
Nope.
No. I don't understand that. Jameel's on the line from Frankfurt. Hi, Jameel.
Ooh, yeah. Eagles madness running wild. You've got to understand, Angelo.
Right.
This was a Madden 24 game. So you've got to hit all of the milestones. So you throw the first 9 passes with an injured quarterback in order to hit the milestones to make the algorithm go up so that you automatically win the game, see?
Okay.
So the computer doesn't know what to do. That's how dumb we looked yesterday.
All right, I believe that Jameel has just taken a shot at analytics.
Yeah,
and are right, Jameel, on that. Jameel, when you're watching, I got this guy who called me in the first hour, and he said it's ridiculous to be complaining when you're 14-3. Okay. And I said, well, what were you experiencing in the fourth quarter when the Eagles were getting rolled over by Davis Webb? How can you watch that and be happy?
So here's the thing, Angelo. 2 things happened yesterday that literally broke my heart.
All right.
Watching the Eagles defense against a third-string quarterback for the second time in a row, if you count the Washington game.
Yeah.
And then my brother passed away.
Oh, my God.
So I am at a place right now where I don't know which one I am hurt more by. And I know that sounds weird. My brother was a diehard Eagles fan. So he would be the same way I am. Dang, y'all, can y'all at least – and he was a running back. So he would have definitely said, pound the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Can y'all at least put together a couple of blitzes to shake this dude up on his drive? I don't understand why Gannon thinks that a pass prevent offense without blitzing is the key and the answer. It does not make you look like a genius. It makes you look like a fool because everything they do ends up gaining yards.
All right, Jameel, hold on for a second because a little bit of real life crept into this call. Your brother passed away. Was it sudden?
Yeah, he was in a hot tub with his kids. He had a heart attack yesterday.
Oh, my God, Jameel. Jameel, compared to a football game, who cares that your brother is where your heart should be right now? You know that. How old?
He was 36.
Oh, my God. That is horrible. Oh, Jameel.
My little brother. I got to push life, though, Angelo. If I don't push life,
I know.
I won't move.
Jameel, my deepest condolences to you and your family for that. It's amazing to me that you would want to talk football after that, but I guess that's what football is. It takes you away from the terrible things that happen in our lives.
Absolutely.
My brother played for Avondale High School.
Wow.
He was a star running back there. He went on to play for 1 season at Valley Forge Military Academy, and then he transferred to West Virginia State. And he messed up his knee at West Virginia State. And so football was his life.
But he loved the Eagles. He was a big Eagle fan.
Yes, God.
All right. Jameel, hopefully he will help us from above. Jameel, our deepest condolences, seriously. Wow. I was not ready for that twist.
No. Oof,
was that something, Rhea?
Wow. It does help. I mean, it just does. It gives you a chance
it
to
does.
Not think
it gives
about
you something else to think about.
The pain for a few minutes.
Brother 32. 215. All right, I gotta wait a second. Jason, you're coming up next. Steve, John, Sly. I got room for more callers today, and I'm going to take a guess here that every line is not lit because people are not positive how to feel. Here's what I suggest. Be thrilled that you don't have a playoff game in 2 weeks, and then be nervous when you do.
Yeah. It's your job to wake them up.
If the Eagles played like they did yesterday, this will not be a lengthy postseason.
No.
I guarantee you that.
Your retirement will be.
215, yeah. My wife has never rooted harder for the Eagles than she did yesterday.
Oh.
And she was not happy.
She's not happy
she said,
at all.
I could milk another month out of this before your retirement.
Yep. Don't.
All right, welcome back, 7:21. In a minute, we're going to have a very important report from a fine physician. But first, Ava's here. Ava, would you end our first question and go to our second?
I can do that. Brought to you by Armin Chevrolet. Armin Chevrolet wishes all a happy and healthy new year. Thank you to the Delaware Valley for 22 years of support. Find your roads to Armin Chevrolet. The Eagles finished as the number 1 seed in the NFC and got a first round bye. How do you feel about them? 73% glass half full.
That is not true.
That's Philadelphia?
Is. That is not. No.
Yes.
Where are we?
Yeah.
Glass
half full.
All right. Find out how many actually watched the game.
All right.
Because there's no damn way they watched the fourth quarter and they had a half full
I'm
glass.
I'm just saying.
Unless there was something in that glass of a potent nature.
Well, that's why they feel that way today.
Like they I got do. Some of your favorite drink, nice tequila.
Yeah.
All right, Ava Graham, second question.
What is the biggest weakness of the 14-3 Eagles this season? Offense, defense, special teams, coaching.
Coaching. Jonesy.
Coaching.
Barrett.
Coaching, 100%.
Wow, he loved that one. Rhea.
Coaching.
Ava.
Coaching.
It's not good. The coach will be on at 9, I'm sure.
Don't
sure,
share the results with
her. She'll be thrilled to hear that. Rhea Hughes, would you please introduce this fine NovaCare physician?
One of our favorites, Dr. Mark Schwartz, orthopedic surgeon with Burlington County Orthopedic Specialist in Mount Laurel, co-director of Virtua Health Sports Medicine Program, chief of orthopedics and surgery at Virtua Memorial Hospital. For more information about Dr. Schwartz, go to burlingtoncountyortho.com.
Dr. Schwartz, welcome to our show this morning.
Good morning, guys.
All right, so, Doc, you were at the game, and I know you were studying closely the form of Jalen Hurts. Did he appear constricted to you? Did it appear he was in some distress?
Couldn't tell that, but the things I was looking for were his velocity and his accuracy. And I don't think he's 100% with those two things yet, but that might have been partially the way they designed the game plan for him also.
All right, Doc, all we could say for sure is they called it a sprained shoulder. Were they taking a risk at furthering the injury by playing him before it was fully healed?
Well, my understanding was his injury is a sprain to the sternoclavicular joint. And what that really is we very commonly hear acromioclavicular or AC joint, where the collarbone meets the very end of the shoulder outside. This is the opposite end. This is where the clavicle meets the breastbone, the sternum.
All right.
It's a much less common injury. The good news is that this was really diagnosed more or less with an MRI, which means it's probably a grade 1 or maybe grade 1 plus, which is probably a mild to moderate sprain. The good news is that these generally heal in about anywhere from, about 6 weeks. So we're about 4 weeks into this.
Yep.
The most important thing was they did not re-injure it and that they take another blow. But they can be painful for up to 8 weeks. They will affect mostly motions where he's coming across his shoulder as if he's thrown across his body. That's where you're going to get the pain from.
All right, but Doc, let's just say your time frame is right. It's 4 weeks in since the injury. Assuming you did not injure it any further yesterday, can we expect that 2 weeks from now when they play, he will be further along and in far less pain than he was in yesterday?
Absolutely. And sometimes with these particular injuries, they some athletes do get a numbing injection to kind of decrease the pain that they may be getting for a game. That would be a last resort. Hopefully he won't have to resort to it, getting it numbed up. But it appears to be a stable injury. You just don't want to convert a mild or moderate sprain to a complete tear. But I think by the time that we are at week 5 or 6 of the post-injury, I think it's safe to say that for the most part, this should be about at least 85% to 90% healed anatomically.
That's good news. All right, the other one, and man. These numbers, when Lane Johnson's there, the Eagles are just a much better team than when he is not. He is going to attempt to play 2 weeks from now in the first playoff game, Doc, but we know only that he has an abdominal tear and he will have been off for a little over a month. What's your read on that? Is he going to be close to 100% or how's he going to do that?
No, this unfortunately, as opposed to Jalen's injury, is a bird of a different feather. This lower abdominal tear is really a core muscle tear. It's in the category of sports hernias. His particular muscle, in my understanding, is he tore his adductor muscle, ADDUCTOR. And what that muscle is, it connects your pubic bone to your inner thigh bone.
Ouch.
So it's almost, some people would even call it a groin tear. But basically, the core muscles are very, very important in the ability to anchor yourself, to generate power, And that all starts from the core. And, you know, this is the type of injury that if you don't get surgery right away, you can still play, but you're going to, I don't know how effective he will be. We all know that something like, I think he took on 972 sacks this year and gave up, out of 972 snaps, he didn't give up one sack or no hits to Jalen. So the question is, you can only assume that the defense on the other side is going to be focusing in on the right side to really be testing him out. He's probably going to have surgery off-season, but time will tell how effective Lane is. It is a more debilitating injury, particularly for a lineman, especially for a tackle, where you really need your core muscles to generate power and anchoring.
Doc, do you understand that you, an elite physician, offered us a football stat in the middle of that Keith Jones did not know? You have more football knowledge than Keith Jones.
I'm a fan first and the doctor second.
Well, you're awesome. Doctor, thank you so much. Hopefully they'll be able to get a lot out of both of these guys in the playoffs. Doctor, you're great. Thank you.
Go Birds.
And thank you to all the great NovaCare doc. He slipped in 920, whatever.
Dr. Schwartz goes to like every
game. He had a stat.
He's a huge Phillies fan. I see him at Phillies games all the time. So, yeah, he's a big fan.
Did you have that stat?
I did not.
Barrett Brooks, former offensive lineman, no less. Did you have that stat?
I just know he hadn't given up a sack in 2 years, but he knew
right.
From
you work with Ruben Frank. He's a human stat.
You're right. And I didn't know that.
He didn't know. Dr. Schwartz, man, legend. One of a kind. Ladies and gentlemen, our leader has arrived, Jason. Hi, Jason.
Angelo and morning team. It was a bad, bad game.
Yes, it was,
yes.
Jason.
We won, but it was a bad game.
All right, so how do you feel right now? Do you feel good or you feel bad?
I feel good that we won, but I don't feel that it wasn't a great win, you know. It's not a satisfying win.
Right.
Let me ask you something, Angelo.
Okay.
You're Catholic, right?
Non-practicing.
Today he is.
He does some medicine.
why do you ask me about religion, Jason?
Well, I need you to go to church and do some rosaries.
Okay.
For Lane Johnson.
And to our fathers.
Yeah.
If we don't have Lane Johnson, we don't have a chance.
All right. You know what, Jason? That's
mass?
A very... right now, the record is 10-22 when he is not playing. They will try to play him in the playoffs, but we don't know how good he's going to be. But you're right, Jason. That line is not nearly as good without Lane Johnson. Not nearly as good. It's not. It's really kind of just okay. Right? Jonesy, how big a...
He's everything.
He's a right
everything.
Tackle.
As Barrett was telling us earlier, he's their best player on the team, which is incredible.
But you wouldn't think a right tackle would have that much to do with the game. We have underestimated the value of fine linemen, Barrett Brooks.
There's no question about this. You know, when you look at Lane Johnson and even Jordan Mailata, they don't give those guys protection. They don't help those guys so you can run the offense because you don't have to worry about it. You know, you have Darrell Revis. You had Revis Island. Well, you got Lane Johnson Island over there at the right tackle position. Right. It doesn't matter how good their pass rusher is, he's going to stop them. So, I mean, as a quarterback, you get used to not having somebody in your face because he's so good.
Yep.
Because they have somebody, because we have Driscoll out there, he's got somebody in his face who changed the whole dynamic on how you call the offense.
Driscoll sucks. All right. Anyway, Jason, he does. He's not that good. All right, Jason, I noticed something. I just want to ask you a personal question. You called in like around 3:30 when I was driving in this morning. When do you sleep?
Well, after a win, I hardly sleep.
Wow.
I don't sleep that much after a win, but, you know.
I got you.
Why is that?
And the Cowboys got
Oh, what did you want to say about that, Jason? The Cowboys got...
I got something for Adrian. I got something for Adrian.
That's beautiful, Jason.
Let's go, Vikings. Let's go, Vikings.
Jason, be well, my good friend. How Please great is it. He? How great is he? Steve's up next. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Angelo. Good morning, guys.
What are you feeling this morning, Steve?
Now, Angelo, I'm the guy that called in after the Eagles lost to the Commanders, and I said we should sue the Eagles for emotional distress.
Yeah.
And since then, I've been okay. But after the last three games, I've got two complaints. Number one, why is there no solution for Lane Johnson, who historically goes down every single year?
It's true.
You know, he's got a list of injuries, personal, knee, groin. Why can't we flip Mailata? Why can't we put a tight end in there? Why can't we, why can't we patch up the right side? And number two, can we find somebody in this city that can punt a football?
Oh, that guy stinks.
Oh my God.
29 yards.
Kern. Oh, my God. One of them was like, it wasn't even 30 yards. He averaged 33.5.
It's embarrassing.
Steve, that guy is done. He is cooked.
Angelo, 29 yards. I punted in eighth grade. If I kicked the ball 29 yards, I'd be on the bench.
All right, but hold on. Now I have to call a timeout because we never do this, Steve, and it's time we did. That Jake Elliott. God bless him.
Wow.
What a kicker that. Almost every single kickoff is through the end zone, and he hits 50-yarders like they're 20-yarders. How great is that kicker, Steve?
He's an absolute godsend, Angelo. Like, I was a free agent a couple years ago. I tried out for the Eagles, and I was a long snapper and a tight end, and I got to see that guy kick a little bit. He's absolutely wonderful.
Well, Steve, I appreciate your call and your input, but he's right about our punter. Now, the other guy went down. He's done for the year. You went out. They said, wow, we got a great punter.
Yeah.
When's that going to start?
No, they missed on this guy.
I will give one other thing. Let me do this now before I am accused of not giving out props. The special teams yesterday, until they gave up that long return, there was a long return before the last Giants touchdown. They were a plus up until then because they sniffed out a fake field goal. And if you want to scare yourself, Jonesy, consider this. Graham Gano is a great kicker.
Yeah.
It was like a 50-yarder or so. If he kicks that, you're even more nervous at the end of that game.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah, for sure.
Graham Gano, and they tried a very lame they didn't care what that. They were trying to win anyway.
No.
They would throw everything against the wall. But who was it that sniffed it out? He was phenomenal. I can't think of his name.
Was it McPherson?
McPherson.
That's it. Yeah,
McPherson.
Yeah.
He's been good all year.
Yes, he went out. He covered the receiver. There was nowhere to go, and then the guy got buried. 215-592-9494. When we come back, I got to take a moment to give props to the National Football League. By whatever means they use, some of which might be dubious, they put on a show even when the scrubs are playing. And we got a little package for you of the excitement this weekend in the NFL. Ladies and gentlemen, I've shared this thought many times in the past, but it is worth saying one last time. We are moving closer to losing our best friend again in about a month.
Yeah.
A little over a month.
Who, you?
Ladies and gentlemen, there is simply nothing that provides more entertainment than the National Football League. And I will sit here day after day and bitch about this and bitch about that. And I think they're rigging it with the refs and all this other stuff. And when it's time for a game like any game this weekend, I even begged off Rhea a major social event because I needed to watch Doug Peterson.
Sure you did.
No, I did. What do you – don't you make this hard
don't
for me.
Don't they have TVs at
they
their social event?
They had a TV there, but I felt at that point it would intrude upon the fun and games they were enjoying.
Well, no, that was you.
Whatever. Yeah, I figured my departure would enhance the enjoyment of the rest of the people.
What did you think of Doug's performance?
Doug was great, and I was
he
so happy about Doug. Then I start with the Red Zone channel. I'm watching this, and everybody is doing a terrific tribute to Damar Hill, Hamlin.
Yeah, it was great.
And then the first play, it actually starts our montage. You can't make that up. And he's watching. Hamlin is watching from his in the ICU and is blown away by what he sees. And the whole weekend, even the stinking Eagles game, was a lot of fine sports entertainment. Let's enjoy it one more time.
The last Sunday of the regular season underway as New England decided to defer after winning the toss. And here's Hines on the run back, breaking a tackle and taking it past midfield. And down the sideline he goes. This is storybook. An opening kickoff return for Damar Hamlin. And this place is absolutely going wild.
Davis looking, throwing to the end zone. Caught and converted. Jordan Akins.
And the Houston Texans have retaken the lead.
There's Cal McNair pacing.
I wonder what he's thinking. Conflicted for sure.
And of course, Lovie Smith doesn't care about any of that draft stuff. They're going for broke.
On the way, down the middle, with distance. Dolphins take the lead with 18 seconds.
And the drought is over. Miami Dolphins sealing the deal on the return to the playoffs.
And that'll bring Jason Myers on to try to keep Seattle's playoff hopes alive.
He's on the way, and it is off the uprights.
He'll run out now to try to give Seattle hope that their season is extended.
Sweet redemption.
And hope springs eternal in Seattle.
Big ball downfield, and it is intercepted by Kirby Joseph.
The Green Bay Packers are eliminated. Seattle will go to the playoffs.
Four-man rush. Prescott, that one might be a pick six. It will be. Touchdown, Washington. Do you believe that?
Start congratulating Buffalo on division champions. They deserve it.
I mean, it was frustrating at times, but it was ultimately really some really beautiful moments. I miss the guys. I miss the fans. Thank you.
The best thing of it all is the two truly horrible people, Bill Belichick and Aaron Rodgers, were eliminated.
My favorite part was you go on Twitter sometimes and you see what's trending, and I see Chris Collinsworth is trending, and that he was doing the Aaron Rodgers game, and people were like, Chris, he's been terrible this year. Yes. Stop! It was hysterical.
They can't stop crowing over the the Mahomes thing on Saturday. Ugh.
Mahomes
awesome. Is not the MVP. Hurts is the MVP.
Mahomes is awesome.
Barrett Brooks, who's the MVP?
Well, you see, we lost both our games when he didn't play.
There you go.
Proof is in a pudding.
Are you here to tell me Barrett Brooks is a moron?
He's the man.
I don't think so.
I wish that Hurts would win it, but he's not going to.
No,
he's not going to win.
No, it's done.
Because they're dying to give it to Mahomes every year anyway.
They're drunk and love to do it.
One other thing. Let's hear it.
Does it have to do with Andy Reid?
Yeah. You saw it, right?
The huddle.
Oh, I hate this guy. So, Jonesy, they're getting ready for a play.
I saw it.
And the whole huddle starts running around in a circle.
The snow globe, they call it.
For what reason?
Because Andy Reid is not as great a guy as everybody thinks he is.
It was really.
You know the best part was?
Bush what was the reason
it
for
was Bush
it?
He allows the players to design a play every week. And this is what they came up with.
Oh, please.
He scored the touchdown, and it was taken back.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it didn't work anyway.
The holding penalty was the best thing ever.
Oh, that was great.
I laughed so hard.
But the players that are designing the plays, are they doing this from their prison cells?
Right, well, I think it was the defense. I think it was the defensive guy that gave him that play.
Oh, I just, that guy, and, don't get me going.
Now, how bad do you think the league wanted Aaron Rodgers to continue into the playoffs?
Very much.
So upset last night on NBC. Listen to that broadcast.
Oh,
that
Collinsworth was dying.
I love the Lions for doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Me too.
I got to say this about the Lions.
Great.
We started the season against the Lions. That Dan Campbell is a coach.
They put a scare in us the first
game. That guy's a good coach.
Yes, they did.
Bite kneecaps.
They almost beat the Eagles in the, 38-35?
Yep.
What a great season they ended up having.
You know, a lot of teams we played were like that this year.
Yep.
We thought were just bad teams and end up being pretty good teams.
Absolutely. Lisa's up. Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
Hello.
How are you feeling?
I'm working out.
What are you thinking right now, Lisa?
I'm actually feeling very confident. I was not really worried yesterday, although I should have been.
Yep.
My husband left and said, why are you going to do this to yourself? And I'm like, I just felt that Jalen Hurts was like, we're going to win this no matter what. If I can't get the ball into the end zone, we have an amazing, Jake Elliott is awesome. Like, he saved us. So I'm feeling good. I think we're going to win no matter where it might be ugly.
Sure.
But I'm feeling confident.
All right, but Lisa, 9 consecutive passes by the offensive coordinator. Later in the game, 8 consecutive runs. And my defensive coordinator, somebody somewhere along the way is going to have to explain the fourth quarter with a third-string quarterback. Somebody's going to have to explain to me how Davis Webb went up and down the field against our starters. Lisa, how did that happen?
I really have no idea. I think I kind of feel like maybe they didn't care. They were like, we're going to win this? I don't know.
They almost did it. Do you understand? Lisa, let's just say hypothetically that onside kick worked. Because it did bounce around a little bit.
Yes.
And now Davis Webb has a minute 20 to work on.
We would have lost.
To go half a field. What was that? What'd you say?
We would have lost the game.
Ah! Why? How could I come on and be excited that? I would have to fake it.
Yeah, I know.
You wouldn't be faking it if they lost that game.
I don't know how to fake it.
No, you would have lost your mind.
You don't understand. I could come in and attempt to fake this morning
that
there were 14-3 and it was amazing and wow, we got everything we wanted without adding that the past month they have sucked. Thank you, Lisa.
True.
Appreciate your input.
Lisa had a good attitude about it. She was unhappy when it was happening. Now she feels good.
See, I'm not able to do that.
I understand that.
Are you able to?
By Wednesday, I will be.
See, she has her own process.
Yes.
Barrett Brooks, when you guys came out, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember the exact order in the post game on NBC Sports Philadelphia. I believe Ron Jaworski was doing a speech on how wonderful this was.
Yep.
Then his little cohort over there, Ruben Frank, he started chirping. Yep. And he had stats. Oh, this 14 wins. I haven't done this before. And then I shut it off before you came on. Did you restore order and point out to these guys that was, in
yes.
the words of Keith Jones,
I really didn't talk much. I just said, well, we're going to have to get some stuff together going into next year. But, you know, a win is a win. But, you know, it's not style points that win you championships. It's going out to win it. It's not a carryover from one game to another when you get into the playoffs.
What was Barkan doing? He's a very, very emotional.
He must have yelled a little bit.
Oh, yeah, he was pissed. Yeah,
he was pissed.
Yeah, he was pissed. Yeah.
Like when they were showing him in the tunnel, was he going, he sucked. Oh, Driscoll, I didn't see him all day. And went through and just made fun of people.
Well, he was the first one to comment on them not being able to close the deal in a fashion which could have our starting quarterback sitting down by the fourth quarter.
I got good news for you. In 10 minutes, a guy who tells it straight will be on. Ray Dittinger.
Yes.
Don't go anywhere.
It's been a while.
Ray Dittinger is coming back from retirement for the playoff run starting today in 10 minutes. And Ray will tell us how to feel.
And can he tell us how long his run's going to be?
wouldn't it be something if 2 weeks from now Ray's retiring again? Let us go next to John in Philly. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today?
Oh, John, I want to be honest with you. My glass is half empty.
Let me get this straight. We're 14-3.
Yep.
We got a first-round bye.
Correct.
And I'm supposed to be happy with the way they played yesterday?
That's what they want you to do. But you see, the game's a televised. In the fourth quarter, were you not going nuts, John?
I was going nuts through the whole game. I mean, our offensive game plan is my biggest concern moving forward. I mean, I'm not going to criticize the defense because I do think the defense has played very well. But our offensive play calling is something to be desired. And I know Hurts was hurt, obviously, and they probably scaled it down a little bit. But this isn't just based on this week. This is based on the past 3 weeks. I mean, we got to straighten this out or we're going to be one and done.
I got to tell you, they were showing this Davis Webb's family in this luxury box. And I had already seen, because they on New York Post features a lot of girlfriends.
Yeah.
His girlfriend is a starter. He's a third stringer. His girlfriend, she's a starter.
Why was she two seats away from the
player, that was
though?
Fascinating. There was an empty seat, and then Davis Webb's family was there, his parents.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe somebody got up and went to the bathroom?
No.
Oh, there's a lot of tension.
I prefer
the
to believe
game.
There was some strife in the relationship. And they're both there, John. And then Davis Webb, here's a play. They were as shocked as we are that their third-string quarterback son did this.
Two receivers to each side. Webb is back. Quarterback draw to the 10, to the 5, and he bangs his way into the end zone. It's a touchdown for the Giants on the quarterback draw.
John, were you feeling really good at that moment?
Oh, yeah, I was feeling great. Come on now. I mean, at that point, the game was slipping away. I mean, you know, numerous callers have already said it. Like, had the onside kick on the Giants' way, they win the game. If there's five extra minutes in that game, the momentum was swinging towards the Giants. They win. I mean, this is, you know, listen, I give them credit for doing what they had to do, but it doesn't mean I have to be happy moving forward.
Thank you. And, John, you are such a reasonable caller. You're not a nutcase. You understand what you're watching and react to it. That's all I'm asking you to do. Don't be out there today telling me how great everything is, even though you got everything you could have hoped to get. Because I would be a lot happier if the Eagles were playing at the level of the Detroit Lions right now. The Detroit friggin' Lions. They peaked at the end of the year. We're a month past the peak. Minimum.
Oh, absolutely. Our momentum going in to the playoffs is not with us for sure, and we need these 2 weeks, and I'm glad we have the bye. We do need these 2 weeks to straighten some things out, and I'm hopeful, but if things aren't straightened out, then, you know, like I said, we're one and done.
Exactly right. John, great call as always. 215-592-9494. Sly Joe, Jimmy, Annette, Will of God. Tom, you guys are all coming up. There's room for more at 215-592-9494. Without further ado, when we return, Ray Dininger.